Hey everybody, Rob Bauer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today, we are of course going to continue to talk about the Cybertruck. We have the first reviews coming in over the last few days, so we'll take a look at those and some of the comments from these first reviews. Then we have a handful of other news that we'll catch up on as well. All right, starting off with the stock, Tesla today down 1.4%, closing at $235.58. The NASDAQ down about 0.8% today, so pretty similar to Tesla's normal beta, maybe even a little bit below. But in general, we've made it through the Cybertruck event now. As we all know, Tesla events in general in the past carry the risk, at least, maybe not every single time, but carry the risk of significant underperformance following those events as the market reacts to what we learn and as perhaps expectations, which sometimes run out of control, are maybe not met in some cases. And in this case, with the details that we talked about with price and range, obviously a lot of great things with the Cybertruck, but those two things being big headline drivers, I'm glad that we've kind of now made it through that initial period after the unveil, with the stock still holding up relatively close to where it was going into the event. So I think in general, a positive to see that. I do think that some of the reviews that we have seen so far probably helping a little bit with that. They have generally been quite positive, I would say. Tesla gave three different reviewers the availability of the Cybertruck to make their reviews. They were embargoed, released early morning on Friday. Would have loved to have talked about them on Friday, just didn't work out quite with the schedule. But we got reviews from MKBHD, Top Gear, and Haggerty, Jason Camisa. So we'll talk about some of the details from some of those, but just in general pointing out, if we can see Marquez Brownlee on here, this already has 13 million views. If I refresh, that's probably going to continue increasing. That's already one of his top 15 videos, so in the top 1% of the total videos he's ever published. Obviously, he's been doing it a long time, but just 3 days into this, this is already one of the most popular videos, and as you can see, stands a pretty good chance to, make it into maybe that top five sort of a spot as views continue to increase. So just shows very high interest in this initially. The other reviews from Top Gear and Haggerty, we'll go through some of the details, but the Top Gear one did have, it was joined by Franz and Lars. So we got some more insight into the engineering and design decisions alongside the Cybertruck, some other key details some other interesting details, like one of the initial sketches of the Cybertruck here from Franz. And then from Jason Camisa, we got the Haggerty super high budget, very interesting review. And they also did about an hour and 20 minute long podcast discussion. So all of these three reviews, and then both this podcast discussion and an MKBHD podcast discussion, those are all linked below. So if you want to check those out, please do. We're not going to spend as much time on the reviews specifically. Again, this was a number of days ago. I assume if you're watching Tesla Daily, you've probably at least watched most of the reviews that have been published so far. So I do want to focus on just a couple of highlights that I found, particularly when we talk about the Jason Camisa one and his comments. I think those were probably amongst the most informed that we heard of. But I do also want to start with Top Gear because they, as I said, had Lars and Franz on. So we get a little bit more detail from that specifically that Tesla kind of announced during that. So overall, though, their review was that about the Cybertruck, if you loved it when you made a reservation, you're going to love it even more when you meet it for real. So that was kind of the summary from their perspective. Obviously, there's going to be positives and some negatives included. We'll talk a little bit more about those things. But they said that the range extender is going to be 50 kilowatt hours. We don't know if that's verified or not, but they said the battery pack in general, 123 kilowatt hours. We've heard that a number of times now. They're saying 50 kilowatt hours on the range extender. They did confirm with Lars that 350 kilowatts will be the capability for charging at the version 4 supercharger. You may have seen on X, Drew Baglino also had a couple of posts about how they were able to manage the battery architecture to allow for essentially 400 volt compatibility with V3 superchargers and below. So kind of interesting there, but it will be able to take higher speeds at version 4 right now up to 350. Maybe that'll change in the future. And Lars said that that would be, 15 to 85%, so recovering 70% of the battery in about 18 to 20 minutes. That performance is much better than what Tesla's website currently shows, because that's likely quoting the recovery time for the V3 250 kilowatt hour max, 250 kilowatt max. So great to have that great to have that detail confirmed. Lars also said that about production, in an ideal case, maybe it'll take us 12 to 15 months to get to that rate, so end of next year. but it's only going to move as slowly as whichever one of those things has the first problem. Those things referring to all the different new technology that Tesla has incorporated in the Cybertruck, like we had talked about on Thursday. So a reiteration kind of what Elon had said, that it's going to take them time to get there and then get to cash flow positivity from that point. Elon had said maybe 12 to 18 months. So a little bit of a better timeline there from Lars, but not materially different. But basically said just towards the end of next year, they should be producing at a high rate, or at least that's what they're targeting. And then they also, the Top Gear guy also asked both of them, would this have been possible with any other boss than Elon? And I think we all know the answer to that. They say an emphatic no in this case. So looking then at some of the comments from Jason Camisa, and then we'll go back a little bit to some of the details from the other reviews. This one I thought was great. I would, if you're going to watch one thing kind of outside of the reviews, I would spend the, you know, hour and 20 minutes that it took, you know, put it on 2x if you want. But I really recommend watching this conversation, the Carmudgeon Show. They have spent a lot of time with a lot of vehicles. It's very clear. I think from the other reviews, you know, MKBHD is coming from it maybe as from more a consumer perspective. These people coming to it from more of a car or an engineering perspective. So really great to kind of see their insight. And just overall, Jason Camisa said, I really did go into this whole experiment kind of hating the Cybertruck, hating everything it stood for, kind of hating the way it looks, the idea of all the excess. And I kind of came away from it like loving it. And then his co-host asked, respecting it? And he said, no, loving it. He was very, very positive throughout this. And I think part of that is, again, the difference between, you know, the approach from MKBHD, which is, again, a little bit more of a sort of consumer products background, obviously, for him, versus Jason Camisa, I think, had a real respect and appreciation for all the engineering details that Tesla has put into this vehicle, and sort of the benefits to the end product that those end up bringing out. So he said what they did in the background is nothing short of, I don't want to say an engineering miracle, but I think the Cybertruck advances the art of the truck far more than the Model S advanced the art of the automobile. So although he's talking about art there, my perspective on what he was talking about was just more of the design and engineering rather than just something like a physical form, which maybe you initially think of with art, but he's talking more of the engineering and design in general. So again, really high praise, and that's coming in from a perspective of being relatively negative prior to the review. He even actually mentioned that he was, you know, kind of trying to figure out a way to be positive, and he said, I'm just going to go into this video and just share the information and not really give my opinion on things. But he said that now that he's had the experience, his opinion has obviously changed pretty significantly. So again, from Jason Camisa, a number of other great details here. He said, on paper, it just kind of does everything better than everything else. He said, the interior is huge, big, huge back seat. Its off-road ability has got to be up there with the best of the best of them. Forward visibility is not bad. He said, rear visibility, obviously that's a little bit of a challenge with the tonneau cover. As I'm sure many of you have seen, Tesla is handling this with the rear view camera, which you can make always visible on the user interface on the touchscreen if you want. He said, this thing rides like a dream. On door opening, a lot of people with Tesla doors tend to have concerns about ice. He said that Tesla said that you can put an inch layer of ice on the door and the actuator for the door will just shatter the ice and open the door. MKBHD said the exact same thing. He said an inch. Lars in the Top Gear interview said half an inch. So we're somewhere between half an inch and an inch that could be covering the vehicle door. And this motor is so strong that it will actually still open. So I think hopefully a comforting detail in that regard for those in winter climates. He also said, in terms of some of the negatives or some of the downsides, that he thinks the stainless is going to be a problem from a housekeeping perspective, just keeping fingerprints off of it and things like that. Obviously, we've seen from some of the prototype vehicles that that is something that probably is going to be a challenge if it's not consistently maintained. How important that's going to be for people, obviously going to depend on the person. And then he did note that there were also some sharp edges on the vehicle where, if you're not careful, could be something that, I don't know if it'll cut you or just, you know, maybe be an uncomfortable encounter, but he noted that as one of his concerns too. But overall, I think, you know, those would be relatively minor compared to some of the positives that he had to say here. He actually also said that Tesla sent a how to engineer a 48-volt vehicle PDF to every other auto CEO and supplier. This is going to be an industry-wide, could be a potentially industry-wide movement if more suppliers can get on board with this, more auto companies get on board with this. Hopefully the whole industry can eventually leap forward like it did, 70 years ago, when it went from 6 volts to 12 volts. Here would be an even more significant improvement. But one of the reasons this hasn't happened is, again, because the industry is so built around 12 volt production, that it really is a pretty big lift. So if others can help with that, that'll help with Tesla's cost as well. So some choice language here, maybe not for everybody, but he said, "I would hang myself if I worked for a traditional car company right now out of sheer embarrassment. When they start pulling this thing apart, their mind is going to be blown to the point of, like, why do we even come to work every day? A seismic shift. It's unbelievable." So again, coming into it with the perspective of, hating everything it stood for to ending up here saying it's unbelievable in a positive way, I think shows just, the engineering marvel that Tesla has on their hands with the Cybertruck. And again, in general, across these three reviews, I would say very positive. If you do listen to MKBHD's sort of podcast, he has his Waveform podcast in addition to the review here. They're a little bit less positive on it, a little bit more mixed. Definitely still, in general, I would say leaning positive, but had maybe a little bit more negative feedback or a little bit more questions about certain things, or just didn't seem quite as blown away as a Jason Kamisa did. Top Gear maybe a little bit more in the middle, and I think maybe that shows a little bit of a difference again from where they're approaching it from, with maybe Jason Kamisa having a little bit more appreciation for some of those engineering details again, and Marques Brownlee maybe thinking of it from a different perspective. Not that there's anything wrong with either of them. Just because you create this technological or engineering marvel doesn't mean that it's going to sell. So I think both perspectives are good and interesting. But in terms of just overall detail, again, I would spend the time on watching this video here. And again, all those are linked down in the description. Now, in terms of some comparisons, people are kind of building out comparison charts. So a good one here from Zilix on X. This compares basically comparable trim levels of the Cybertruck, the Rivian R1T, and the Ford Lightning. So there's a Google sheet for that, which I have linked down in the description as well. And like Jason Kamisa said, basically the Cybertruck at this price point, comparing favorably across most metrics relative to these other vehicles. And probably the most important perspective, at least from a business standpoint, one that's not covered on here, would be cost and profitability, right? So we know Rivian losing significant amount of money, even from a gross profit perspective. Ford, they break out their financials for EVs. They're also losing a significant amount of money from a gross profit perspective. Tesla, it's going to start there. But as Tesla ramps up, I think their odds of getting their costs significantly below these other two vehicles for a product that is relatively comparable, with obviously a lot of new technology, I think the odds are obviously much better for Tesla. So it'll be interesting to see how this, sort of evolves in terms of volume and revenue and all those sort of things, but nevertheless, an interesting look at this at this stage. We don't have a whole lot of information on new deliveries and things like that. There were people external to Tesla that did take delivery. That much is clear at this point. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow, I think. But Nick Cruz-Batane here on X saying that in some of the source code for the Tesla order page, they do say that deliveries are starting in December 2023 in California and Texas, with more states in 2024. So I don't know if anyone has actually made it into seeing this on the website or not. If you have, please confirm that with me. But it does sound like that's a detail that is included for the moment. So we'll continue to keep a close eye on that as hopefully we hear some more deliveries somewhat soon. In the meantime, Tesla has emailed customers that did have a Cybertruck reservation, and they are offering $1,000 off a lease or purchase of a new Tesla before the end of the quarter. So another little additional incentive in addition to the referral program and, of course, the inventory discounts that we have seen so far. Hopefully, there will be people that, we've talked about price point and things like that. That's going to move some people off of the Cybertruck. Hopefully, we see some people in that bucket convert over, and I think that's what Tesla is trying to kind of accomplish with this targeted email. All right, so lots of stuff on the Cybertruck. There's going to continue to be lots more on the Cybertruck, and we'll try to keep track of all of those sort of things. But we'll move on for now. We've got a fun headline here out of Australia. It says SEC invests in one of the world's biggest battery projects. Of course, SEC here not meaning what we would normally think it would mean on Tesla Daily. This, I think, stands for the sustainable. Man, I looked it up. Now I've forgotten. I knew I was going to forget. So I actually have it pulled up here. Sustainable Energy Corporation. This is out of Victoria, Australia. They are going to be investing in a massive battery pack project. As we can see here, 600 megawatts. Tesla is going to be supplying the batteries. And in terms of energy storage, so that'd be the power for the batteries, the energy storage is going to be 1.6 gigawatt hours. So this is going to be one of the largest battery projects in the world. It's supposed to be completed in late 2025, and they are actually going to continue to invest. It sounds like this is the first of a up to $1 billion investment towards building 4.5 gigawatts of new power through renewable energy and storage projects. So if you look at that and you say, okay, 600 megawatts of this 4.5 gigawatt hours, sorry, gigawatts that is planned, that's only a really small chunk. This would actually, if the power to energy storage ratio stays the same, this could potentially represent up to 12 gigawatt hours of energy storage eventually. So pretty exciting to see that, and we continue to just, I think, see more and more momentum for Tesla Energy. And then also in Australia, we've got a update here from Jules on X that is saying that there are now Supercharger V4s being installed in Australia. So it looks like this would be the first one. It's not active yet, but it looks like this is in Albury in Australia. So keep an eye on that, and we should see, I would imagine, more stations of the V4 capacity soon. Also got an update here from Green on firmware. So he is spotting that in the new version, the new FSD version, there is speed camera awareness for both fixed and mobile, red light camera awareness, and a combination of both via Tesla Maps, which would be, the mapping technology Tesla's using in the navigation. And he says a number of navigation features are in the wings, including avoid construction on route and U-turn control. Not exactly sure what that would entail, but in general here, a lot of Waze-like features continuing to, show up in the firmware, continuing to be added over time. So I think a lot of people will find that to be welcome news. All right, we've also got updated China sales. We'll get insured vehicle numbers tomorrow for the week, but for November, we now have the wholesale sales figure. As the week progresses, this will likely fill in. We should have all these numbers by next week. But for now, 82,400 vehicles of wholesale sales, which is retail or domestic sales plus exports, for the month of November. So one of the best months in the last few. Nice to see that. Pretty similar to the production total for last month. So really, the big question for me is going to be that production number. That'll really give us some insight into where the total quarter can end up. And of course, continue to keep a close eye on the progress of the Model 3 Highland ramp, which looked to be pretty much full speed beginning in October. So good to see that, but we'll keep an eye on that as those numbers come in. And then just a quick one here, we do have some more Cybertruck merch that has been added to Tesla's site. So if you want to go check those items out, you can. And then a quick one on Ford here, they have posted their November US sales. I just wanted to highlight this, especially as we are now heading into the Cybertruck era, which is exciting. I just wanted to take a quick look at their sales. We've talked about this quite a few times over the last few months. So this is F-150 Lightning US sales. I know I'm covering up the top bar of that last bit there. But that goes up to, around 4,500, and this bar is almost at the top. So during this period, there were a lot of people commenting on, oh, Ford is, there's no demand, no sales on the F-150. It's kind of downtrending. But during this period of time, they had downtime at the factories. They were making updates to the factories, and now after that, we are starting to see a return to, previously unparalleled levels of sales in the U.S. for the F-150 Lightning. So certainly good for them to see that. We'll continue to keep an eye on this. Obviously, during this period where this downtime was occurring, maybe there's some pent-up demand and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how sustainable that is. And again, especially as we head into the Cybertruck era. But nevertheless, good to see that for the Ford F-150 Lightning. That's about 40% of their annual sales year to date in the last 2 months. Then for the Mustang Mach-E, just also take a quick look at that as well. Not as hot of a start to the fourth quarter. They're tracking already, I think they're only at about half of the sales of the last quarter through 2 months. So it does look like a little bit tougher of a Q4 for the Mustang Mach-E. I'm not super well aware of if they are. And here's the quarterly view of if there is downtime there impacting the Mustang Mach-E, like we had talked about with the Ford F-150, but obviously a competitive environment with the Model Y to compete with there. All right, last thing for today, just a quick look at the calendar. Relatively uneventful week this week compared to what we're going to have next week. So you can see, obviously, a few economic reports as we get every week. But next week will be the big one to keep an eye on. We do have CPI and PPI in the middle of next week, as well as the next FOMC meeting. I don't think anyone expects a further rate increase at this point. But obviously, the language and the Powell's comments in general will be interesting to follow. All right, that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on X at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, December 5th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.